Good morning to you all. Welcome here to those gathered here and those who are with us virtually in other places. It's so good to see so many of you here. Some we haven't seen for a long time. You're very welcome here, and it's exciting, and there are some guests. Welcome here as well. It's the day where we are also allowed not to wear masks, and some of us welcome that change. Some of us will choose to keep our masks on, so let us be generous in these times of uncertainty for many people still and accept choices that others are making. We want to feel positive and encourage each other. So this week, like some weeks, I ask myself the question, why do we gather here in this building Sunday morning? What do I get out of coming here every Sunday morning? Why do I go to church? If I asked you, you would have probably many reasons too and answers for that question. And honestly, sometimes I think, oh, it's just so much easier to stay home. And it sure was easy when we weren't allowed to come. Hey, then we were all in the same boat, right? That's great. We can feel for each other and support each other, but not physically. So it was good to stay home for a while. But, you know, I missed the routine. The week just didn't feel complete if I didn't get up and hurry the family along, although sometimes that was the reason I wanted to stay home. But, you know, that's part of the routine. Okay, we got to get going. Now it's just Matt and I, so we have to hurry each other along, I guess, and drive the 20 minutes to church. I missed the music. Singing the old songs, learning new ones. I missed being challenged spiritually to learn and be prodded to continue learning more about what the Bible is telling us. I really missed getting together physically with people who have the same faith values, who support each other in the good and the bad, who worship the God of love, grace, and mercy, the God who accepts us for whatever we are, however we are feeling, whatever we have done, he accepts us. I'm thankful that we can come here together to worship. Welcome here. And I don't know if you want to just wave or can we, I don't know, do we want to get up and shake hands because there's some guests here and people we haven't seen for a while. Let's gather and welcome people here physically, if you feel comfortable. Or just wave. You can just wave. It's good to see the smiles, too. We're going to read the responsive reading first before we sing the gathering song. So if you would take your bulletin, please. And it's the reading titled, Know and Serve the Lord with Gladness. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all peoples. Serve God with gladness. Rejoice.
Enter these gates with thanksgiving and praise. Serve God with gladness. Rejoice.
Know that the Lord is God. It is God who has made us and not we ourselves.
We are God's people, the sheep of God's pasture. Know and serve God with gladness.
Know and serve God with a whole heart and a willing mind.
For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought.
If you search for God, you will find God.
Know and serve God with gladness. Know and serve God with gladness.
Amen. If you've picked up a Voices Together hymnal, we are going to sing number 11, Mountain of God, and it will also be on the screen. Let us stand.
Thank you.
For that lovely singing. Oh, remain standing because we'll sing the second hymn. I know we haven't done this for a while, but we might as well sing two back to back. We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. The melody is We Gather Together from our hymnal. These words are a little different, but very, very meaningful. 34, if you picked up the book.
Elaine has already mentioned that we're sort of easing into the lifting of restrictions. So if you feel like you feel more comfortable wearing your mask, wear it. If you prefer not to wear it, don't wear it. If you don't want to shake hands, don't shake hands. And when we leave the sanctuary, I would encourage everybody to, you know, still leave a little distance. Let's not clump together in the aisles the way we often do. And when you want to visit, because I know that we all do, let's sort of move it outside. So there is more space and the fresh air and all of that. We'll not just stand back there in one big, I don't know, lump. That's the only word that came to mind, sorry. But if we can just sort of keep filtering out, and then you can stand in the parking lot or on the front sidewalk as long as you want. And, you know, I was challenged this morning that your pastor should be standing outside and out on the sidewalk somewhere, make a visible presence known, and compel them to come in. So, you know, the opposite is also true. After the service, if we are standing outside, we're really a demonstration of who it is that gathers inside of these walls. Make your witness known and let people take a good look at you. Nothing wrong with that, unless you're on the witness protection program. Don't do that. Okay, oh, sorry, I didn't want to out anyone. This Sunday, as you see, Matt and Elaine have selected to be our leaders. They planned everything, they put it together. And next Sunday, Doug Clausen will be here in person, and his accommodations and everything have been taken care of because he's going to stay in Regina and then whisk over here first thing in the morning, so hopefully he's not late. But you won't give him a hard time even if he is late. But he does need a lunch date. So if there are any of you who are who feel like, yeah, I would like to sit down and have lunch with Doug Clausen next Sunday, then let us know at the office. We're just trying to coordinate that somehow. So that was our only obligation towards him. For, you know, we'll receive him, be hospitable, but then he asked if lunch could be arranged in some fashion. Okay, that's one opportunity, I guess. And you've also noticed that our offering plates were still sitting out there in the back. That's part of our easing into things. So the ushers won't come forward with the offering plates. We won't be passing them up and down the aisles. They'll be out there for a little while until we decide that we're ready to go gung-ho. So hopefully you remembered before you came in here to put your offering back there, because they're going to count it and they're going to bless it, and then it will all be tied up and done. So if any of you who would like to jump up now and race back there to drop your offering in, that's okay. Nobody. Man, I'm fishing and I'm not getting a single thing. This Friday, one opportunity was that some ladies who belong to Women in Mission were going to meet at Smitty's and have their third Friday of the month coffee together. But they're going to postpone it for 1 week till the 23rd. So if you wanted to join them, don't go to Smitty's this Friday. Go next Friday. You'll surprise them, especially if you sit down at the same table. Another opportunity, let's see, what else? What other kind of opportunities do we have here? Volunteers for Meals on Wheels, that opportunity still exists. And we'd like for people to register, and you've got to have some criminal checks done and a little bit of training, safety training. It's very, very easy. So let us know. We're going to be doing it the whole month of September. That's Monday to Saturday. But don't feel like you will be obligated then to do Monday to Saturday. We'll work with your schedule. Maybe you only want to do Mondays. Maybe you only want to do Saturdays. Maybe you only want to do it once. That's all fine. We're ready to work together with you. Not next Sunday. I don't want to say that. Radio broadcast today, apparently, at 11 o'clock. I don't see anything else here that I really need to... I want to draw attention to the backside of the bulletin. That's right. Because here is some more information about responding to residential school revelations. And, you know, more and more information is always coming out to us. Information that has been known to many others for many years. So this is not new to many people. This is affirmation. But here are some opportunities for us to be involved and how to respond, because many times you hear the news and it's too big, it's too horrible, and we feel helpless. So it helps to have some steps that we can take to become more involved. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your loving kindness, your compassion, your mercy. Not only that you are all of these things, but that you demonstrate these things towards us, that we receive them as we have received the rain this week, pouring down from heaven. Sometimes we take it for granted and we just go along with our busy lives. And then things happen and we are reminded of this God that we serve, this God that we worship, that we have come together to talk about, to share about, and hopefully to draw closer to. Thank you that is your desire, not only our own, and that comes from you. Thank you for your desire to be in relationship with us in the state in which we find ourselves. As Bart has expressed his appreciation for his brother and recognition of characteristics, we pray for him and for his wholeness. You know the needs. And we simply bring him before you. We lift him up and his family, his close family and friends and those at a distance. We bring them before your throne, just like we bring ourselves before your throne. Because of your grace, we come with confidence, not because of our goodness, because we are not good. It is your love and your mercy poured out on us that gives us the courage to come and the courage to confess that we have sinned, that we, even this week, since last Sunday's service, maybe last Sunday's resolutions to do better or be better, we have failed in those resolutions. And we've probably even changed in our will and our determination to do better. Doing better is overrated. It's too hard. There's no results, no appreciation. But here we are in front of a pure God, and we bow down, we humble ourselves, and we confess that what you know about us is true, that we are sinners, and we accept your cleansing of us. We accept your forgiveness of our failures. We accept your wholeness of life through Jesus Christ. We accept, and we accept with thanksgiving. Thank you for all of the events of this week. We pray for all of those who are still struggling with COVID. We pray for those who are awaiting the vaccine. We pray for doctors and nurses. We pray for healthcare workers. We pray for people who, well, we are all making our own decisions, our own choices. Help us to recognize what is the wisest course of action. And we pray that the death would be stopped. There's so many things to pray for. The world is at war with itself. We are at war with the world, not caring for it the way that you hoped we would. We are not caring for our brothers and sisters the way you've taught us to. And we pray that you would give us wisdom. Help us to know what to do. Help us to hear your Spirit urging us to the actions that you would have us take as we sit quietly, as we hear and listen to what's going on in the world, to the pain in the world, to the struggle of our brothers and sisters, and also to your voice, because we know that you are active in our world. You have not abandoned us. You have not left us alone. And we are not here to try and reinvent the wheel and go forward, changing everything. Help us also to remember how to wait on you, knowing that you are speaking. If we would just learn how to listen. We pray for the other churches in Swift Current, as well as the church in near Laird and their intern pastor. These and so many other things that have not been spoken, that are held deep in the heart, we bring them to you. We bring ourselves to you. We have brought our offering, and we ask for that blessing. And we pray just the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Lois. As we move towards the scriptures and the message and more songs, Shirley and I are going to do a reading, more of a story, called The Growing Seed. Mystery.
Wonder.
Hiddenness.
Growth.
A long time ago, a crowd of curious listeners and friends gathered around the master storyteller named Jesus.
Jesus wanted to help people know and trust that God is in charge.
So Jesus told the curious listeners and friends this story.
When you trust that God is in charge, you are like a gardener.
A gardener who does what gardeners do.
You scatter seeds on the ground so they can grow.
Then you go home and leave the seeds there, lying in the ground.
So still.
So quiet.
Just lying there.
The ground looks almost the same. People walking by can't tell that anything has happened.
Mystery.
Wonder.
Hiddenness.
Growth.
The gardener knows that the secret, mysterious miracle of new plants is beginning, and he goes to sleep.
The gardener sleeps.
And sleeps.
Trusting God.
It's a strange thing.
God's good seeds can grow in even difficult environments.
Slowly, but still growing.
Seeds are amazing.
You plant them, and with a little warmth,
light and moisture,
they send down roots.
Down, down,
down.
Taking up the nutritious water God provides.
Then green shoots grow up.
Up, up, up.
Producing leaves and flowers and more seeds.
Mystery.
Wonder.
Hiddenness.
Growth.
Jesus finished many stories by saying that we should use our ears
to listen
and use our eyes
to see.
Jesus wanted people to understand.
God controls the growing of the seeds.
We can trust God.
Can we trust that God is growing seeds in each of us?
In the church?
All over the world?
What happens then?
Great things can happen.
Jesus said we are like the gardener,
planting tiny seeds,
scattering them everywhere.
What kinds of things does Jesus want us to plant?
Plant seeds of love.
Seeds of grace.
Seeds of joy.
And seeds of peace.
What should we do after we finish planting the tiny seeds?
Trust God to make them grow.
In ways we can't even imagine.
Mystery.
Wonder.
Hiddenness.
Growth.
God grant that we may understand the secrets and mystery of the tiny seeds.
Let us take our sing the story and sing the song, Unless a Grain of Wheat Falls to the Earth, number 56, the Purple Book. Sing the story. Verse 1, 2, and 3. And thanks, Ken and Grace, for helping lead the songs.
Thank you.
going to call on Anna now to read the scripture.
Mark chapter 4, 26 to 32. He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces a grain, first from the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel on the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again he said, what shall we say that the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use or describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds on the air can perch in its shade. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. So as one gets older, one starts needing these things called reading glasses. The problem is, where I want to read is here, but I can't, I'd have to go. So this is always an adjustment. I wish that you bear with me. I have a story from a friend of mine, Kevin. I met him in university, and he's a pastor in Halifax. And this is a story he shared with me, and I thought it was kind of cool. So I'll share it with you. In a previous church where he had served as minister, there were no stained glass windows. This was slightly unusual, since most United Churches in Halifax have stained glass windows. It's kind of like what makes a church, a stained glass window. This particular church had just completed a major renovation, and part of that renovation, the old stained glass windows had been replaced with clear glass. The clear glass in the sanctuary window, the big window there, looked out over a swamp. And throughout the church services May and June, if you've ever been to Nova Scotia, the Maritimes, those swamps are filled with frogs. And the frogs would make a real racket croaking away in May and June. In Kevin's search committee interview, where he met some members of the church, one member named Don said to him, one day, when it's daylight, you must see our swamp. And on the very first day of his job at that church, Kevin did walk around the swamp. This is a swamp, and did feel, well, maybe there's something special here. The clear glass in that church looked over the swamp that was left as is. And the frogs that came to life in springtime all combined to have a powerful, unexpected impact on the ministry of that congregation. The congregation, you see, had made efforts to recreate that church, to repurpose it for a different role in the community. The community around the congregation was in transition from a rural community to a suburban area of Halifax. And the congregation was very focused on changing its building, its programming, and messaging to appeal to that suburban community growing up around it. But throughout those 7 years of Kevin's ministry in that congregation, the one thing that connected the church to God's voice was the swamp. Soon after this revamped ministry of the church began to take root, the church organized Saturday morning landscape sessions to deal with the swamp that was on the door of the congregation. At first, the priority was just to clean up all the garbage that people dump and blow in and whatever into a waste area, so it wouldn't be so much of an eyesore. And then someone had the idea of to create walking trails around the swamp. Since we're going to have a swamp, let's be able to walk around it. And then someone had the idea to install benches. And then something strange began to happen. People from the surrounding suburbs began to drive to the church parking lot beside the swamp, park their cars. First, some people came to walk their dogs. Then other people came for their morning walking exercise. And then some even began to sit down on the benches. and horrors. Some even began to pray. Another member of the church had a dream that this swamp could be a meeting place for people of the inner city to come and feel the Holy Spirit. Her dream was simple, that those unable to access green space in the inner city would find it life-giving to be in this very, very special place. They called this outreach the Freedom Renewal Center. And later, one wise member of the church looked over the situation and grinned. We planned a new building, new programs, a new minister, but God had already given us a swamp. It goes to show who does all the sowing around here. So that brings me to our scripture passage. I'll briefly reiterate and emphasize portions of what Anna read this morning to try and make a point. Now, in my translation I used when I worked at this, the expression was instead of scattering was sowing, was throwing. A man throws the seed on the earth. And Mark's scholars originally noted the language that we call throwing means random, and hence why some translations use it as scattering. It's random throwing rather than a specific target. Verse 27 reads, he would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. It is not that he doesn't know how the seed grew. Obviously, this farmer understands how and why a seed takes root and grows. No, what surprises this farmer is how the seed he threw so carelessly, so with abandon, and grew on land that wasn't really expected to grow anything. It was rocky and barren, and it becomes a productive crop. This is not the farming I practice. I am accustomed, if you ask Elaine, all about the very stressful times I have or we have when we calibrate this drill of mine to achieve the exact seeding rate, to get the exact correct plants per square foot. And I still hate the day that I learned the concept of 1,000 kernel weights. The seeding in this type of farming is careful, precise, tested, and predictable. In all my years of listening to church growth experts, I don't recall a single saying, the reign of God is something that you sow inadvertently, and it grows while you're busy doing something else. And in fact, the whole harvest is a bit of a big surprise and a gift. No, our agriculture metaphors for the reign of God are of deliberate, technique-driven sort. We are all products of our Western mindset. Our confidence in the results that stem from our research, our skill, and manipulation of the events is supreme. Concerning the mustard seed, I actually grow mustard. And like canola, it is amazing how big this plant comes from such a small, tiny seed. The mustard seed's growth can be characterized as not being explosive, but rather, let me use the word, invasive. And with shoots that take over the surrounding area. So think of the seeds of Jesus' gospel as less large and more invasive. Less large and more invasive. The seeds we throw, those words, actions, and prayer-filled spirit requests take root where we often least expect, germinate, flower, and come to life in ways we could never imagine. Our plans are not necessarily God's plans. Our careful strategies, our marketing are not nearly as effective as the spirit-filled seeds we scatter and throw wherever we walk. The Gospel of Mark was written during a time that the message of Christ is gaining popularity beyond what anyone would have imagined or expected. From a marginal Jew who was killed as an enemy of the state and a blasphemer, Mark, writing this gospel as the movement grows, he wants us to know it is not technique, skill, or strategy of that early church that led to such growth. No, it is the grace-filled presence of God who cannot be predicted or manipulated that is the cause of this mysterious new life. Now, however, that does not negate our responsibility to tend this growth. Like a farmer in the parable, we are partners with God in bringing the kingdom to harvest. I mean, the farmer did scatter the seed, and the farmer did reap the grain once the harvest came. No, the farmer did not make it grow, but the farmer was surely in on it. Think of your garden, seed and soil, sunshine and rain, as Vic pointed out, are all God-given. But they come together with our added care to produce life-giving fruit. Life-giving fruit is a spirit-filled life, and a spirit-filled life exhibits fruits of the Spirit. As Paul writes in Galatians 5, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." That's my hard one. "Against such there is no law." It is like when we experience kindness in unexpected places, healing where there is only brokenness, selfishness among human beings for whom selflessness among human beings for whom selfishness is our instinct. Courage where fear would be more reasonable. Generosity when our first impulse is to keep the best for ourselves. And life where there is only death. These thrown seeds do take root and grow when we least expect it. Where we least expect them. We know that some seed will fall on deaf ears and into rocks and among the thorns and will not be fruitful. But in this image, we are encouraged not to dwell too much on that. We cannot control what happens after the word is sown. We just sow it. And what about the second parable in our gospel today? He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of the seeds on earth. Yet when it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Jesus uses a common plant to describe how the kingdom could be working its way into something amazingly large from the tiniest whisper of beginning. But he doesn't use an amazing large object to make the point. He uses the image of a bird nesting in the shade of a very large plant. It is the image of expansive gentleness, but not overwhelming. The kingdom of God is described not in grandiose terms, but in terms of the ordinary, quiet beauty of an inviting place to call home. The passage as a whole emphasizes the hiddenness and the smallness of the quiet beginnings of the kingdom, and also underscores the sense in which the sower does not make the kingdom happen by force of will or even by strategy. Indeed, the sower of the parable doesn't even water or weed. The sower just sows, then sleeps and rises night and day, and the earth produces of itself, and the mustard plant puts forth its large branches. The kingdom grows organically and inevitably as day follows night. God's hidden mysterious work in the world and in us will be fruitful. I thought of ending this meditation right there, kind of leave it hanging, so to speak. However, that is not what I've been taught to do. One must always ground the sermon and message in the community's experience. So, I suggest what this passage means today. I will just say this. Maybe Jesus, through these parables, is motivating us to practice the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Then once we have gained some traction on those fruits of the Spirit in our lives, we can cast those seeds of Spirit-filled life widely around us in our many connecting communities, our workplace, our sports teams, our hobby clubs, our golf buddies, the places where we shop. Cast them widely, and maybe something will grow. So I guess what I'm saying is let's focus more on the fruits of the Spirit in our own lives and in here in our family at Zion, and focus less energy on the strategy and in the thinking that our planning will get us to our end goal. Amen.
Thank you for those words. And we want to respond with the song, Seed Scattered and Sown, song 454 in the blue hymnal, 454. And we're going to sing verses 2 and 3. So we'll sing two verses, verses 2 and 3. Let's stand.
Stay standing for the benediction and the following sending song. May the grace of Christ that daily renews our lives and the love of God that enables us to love all persons and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that unites us as one body make us keen to discern and prompt to obey the complete will of God until we meet again through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Take your Sing the Journey, and we'll go with these words. The Lord lift you up, the Lord take your hand. 73. We'll sing it twice.
Thank you. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 115173309. All rights are reserved.